Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Defender of Caregivers podcast. Our topic today is This Too Shall Pass. My name is Lon Kiefer, your host, and I am a caregiver. In fact, I'm known as Doc, the Defender of Caregivers, and I'm here for you, the caregiver. Whether of the professional or personal family caregiver variety, whether you chose the role or it chose you, I'm here to defend you, even from yourself, by providing a positive and objective voice of awareness, acceptance, and allowance that may help you to develop an inner monologue that says, in everything you do, think also of you. Hey, thank you for caring, and thank you for joining us on the podcast. So I was out on a walk tonight with Chance the Rescue Dog. If you follow us on Twitter at Doc Defender or on Facebook or Instagram at Defender of Caregivers, you've likely seen Chance. He's a rescue dog. We got him from Baywater Rescue. He was about 3 years old. We've had him for about a year and 2 months now. And when we got Chance, he couldn't even do steps. He did not know how to do steps. He was scared of his own shadow, and he's not scared of his shadow anymore, but he is scared of flies. That's another story for another day. But I will have you know, he's doing steps just fine right now. He's doing them on three legs. No, he is a four-legged dog. Nothing happened to his fourth leg. But for some reason, when he goes down steps, he doesn't put down his back left leg. And yes, I've had it checked. I'm a caregiver. His leg is fine. But for some reason, he doesn't use it when he's walking. Hey, dude, just come talking about you doesn't mean you can scratch and make noise. We're doing a podcast here. All right, thank you. So as I said, we were out on a walk tonight, and we had this nice, you know, hill that we had available to us behind a school that was near where we're working these days. And I took this frisbee for him, and I'm trying to catch him. I mean, he couldn't catch either. I used to throw popcorn at him, and it would just bounce off his face. It was pathetic. But now he can catch. He can literally catch over either each shoulder. He can catch without even looking. He can catch cheese. He can catch sausage. He can catch popcorn. He can catch everything. But a frisbee. Actually, he can catch a frisbee if you throw it like about, you know, 8 feet with a nice little loft on it. But I'm trying to get him where he can have those majestic runs down a hill where he's looking over his shoulder. He can jump up and he can get it, you know, like those dogs that you see on TV. Well, we're not there yet, but we do have some nice video. We'll get it up on Instagram at Defender of Caregivers here soon. But the whole time I was on the walk with Chance, I just couldn't wait to get back to the podcast because I'm really excited about what I'm going to share with you today. So let's go ahead and get started with today's You Might Be a Caregiver If statement. Drum roll, please. Boom. That's a finger drum roll on a desk, and I hurt myself. You might be a caregiver if your memory is only as good as your last... Wait, what was I saying? Yes, our memories are flawed. In the moment, we can make them both good and or bad. We can actually make them either or both. We can choose to focus on the great effort and care we're bringing to the situation and the great love that we're offering to those that we care for, or we can focus on the situation itself and how much we think it sucks or is bad. We can focus on the things that we can control, or we can get controlled by the things that we can't control. I've read several times and heard several times that 98% of the people in the world would rather die than live in a nursing home, and that no one chooses to live in a nursing home. I'm here to tell you that's not true. No one chooses a fate that is beyond their control or less than their dreams. No one chooses to be faced with an undoable task or an unconquerable challenge. But everyone that is in a setting other than living independently chooses it in the end because it's their best option. The question is, when do they choose it? Do they choose it early when they have some control over it, or do they choose it late when they're in a crisis? But either way, let's not cloud our perspective and narrow our options because we've chosen to see only the negative of a situation. Yeah, people don't literally choose to live in a nursing home in the sense that they've aspired to it. But they do choose to allow other people into their life when they're faced with challenges that they can't face alone. To think any other way is frankly a distorted thought. So we're going to talk about today's caregiver distortion in spirit of our podcast, This Too Shall Pass, and that is caregiver distortion number 8, mental filtering. You pick out single negative events and details and dwell on them exclusively so that your vision of all reality becomes darkened like the drop of ink that discolors the entire beaker of water. Now here's the thing about that ink. It's got a color to it, and some of us are colorblind, some of us are colored hypersensitive. Me, I have a problem seeing the difference between bamboo and green. To me, they look the same. I'm really bad with beiges. I mean, I'm hopeless with beiges. And pink and purple sometimes sort of blur in my mind. The point is, we all see things differently, and it's the perspective we have that matters, and we can all benefit from a perspective of others. We must remain open to all options and the input of others. We should We should learn to talk and slow down, maybe. I don't know, if you're going to do a podcast, probably not a bad idea. We must learn to listen to those voices in our heads and hone our listening skills along with our self-reasoning skills. The way to get a voice in our head that is saying things to us that is nurturing is to entertain all options out there. We don't want to choose only our attitude. We can also choose our inspirations and where we get the insights that might help influence that attitude. And I'm suggesting to you that you should be open to all sources. I've talked to you before about me traveling a lot. When Addison was born, my granddaughter, May 14th, she's now, 35 days old? And I feel bad I haven't seen her in almost 3 weeks. I'm getting ready to go see her next Friday, though. I'll be in Jacksonville with my granddaughter. Addison, shout out! Grandpa's coming! After she was born, in an 11-day period, I drove over 4,000 miles in order to get my sister, my mom, Vicky, my girlfriend with finger quotes in the air because I don't like the term girlfriend when I'm in my 50s. But anyway, that's another story for another day and another podcast. And between that and seeing clients and what have you, I have a lot of windshield time. And I've shared previously my love for podcasts and the inspiration and perspective they provide to me. I'm absolutely a junkie on listening to the Joe Rogan Experience. Now, Joe Rogan is a self-avowed meathead, a dirty comedian, and a UFC mixed martial arts fighting commentator. Not exactly the guy that my listening audience is going to be interested in, but I'm here to tell you something about him. He's a deep thinker and an open mind. He brings on physicists, he brings on psychologists, he brings on dietary experts, a lot of comedians. He just is an open mind, and I learned so much from him and his perspective and the perspective that his guests share. He recently had a guest on his show, comedian Ryan Sickler, who hails from Baltimore, and I was mesmerized by this guy. As I listened to Ryan tell his stories of his roots in Maryland, I began to think of my own childhood. I got lost romanticizing in my own past. And guess what? My past had a lot of suck in it. I had a terrible childhood. Not terrible in the grand scheme of terrible. Not terrible in the sense that, I was molested or neglected or anything like that. But I moved 13 times in 10 years before finally settling down in Baltimore. My dad was in and out of psychiatric facilities. He was serially unemployed, but also imminently employable. He was amazingly talented and eccentric, but also unstable psychiatrically. And I started believing it was my responsibility at a very early age to take care of my sisters and mother, and I was just way too young to do it. It was beyond my capability, yet I felt that it was my responsibility. So I had a lot of feeling as though I was failing as a child, and this caregiver thing was born, perhaps, rather than the nature type of born as in birth, it was born as in with an E, born by accepting a burden or responsibility of caring for others that I just could not meet. And so this was in me, and I think it has a lot to do with developing me into who I am and sending me to nursing school when other people weren't doing it, and then this whole Defender of Caregivers mission that I'm on. But anyway, I'm off the subject a little bit. Oh yeah, we were talking about how terrible my childhood was. But as I listened to Ryan Sickler talk about his own childhood, I thought wistfully of my own youth, and I remembered how much I wanted to give that same childhood to my children. I mean, what the hell was I thinking? My childhood sucked, but guess what? I loved it. It was my childhood, and I worship it, and I look back, and I almost have to try to think of the negative. And yes, folks, I speak in parables and allegories or whatever they are, like fables. I'm trying to make the point. What you're facing now, it sucks. But the saying, "this too shall pass," is not a cavalier saying. It is both a positive and uplifting saying. It is not a let go, it's not important in the present, ignore what you're doing and just get past it. It's not that at all. It's an appropriate saying for both good times and bad. I did a little bit of research, had the Defender of Caregivers crew do some research, and what I mean by that is me, myself, and I did a Google search on the saying, "this too shall pass," and ended up on a Wikipedia page, and here's what the research says. This goes back to the 1700s, but it became very prevalent in the mid-1800s as a saying. In 1852, in a retelling of a fable entitled Solomon's Seal, the English poet Edward Fitzgerald — he's not the guy that sunk the ship in the Edmund Fitzgerald. What was that song? Anyway, Solomon's Seal by the English poet Edward Fitzgerald, 1852 we're talking about. In it, a sultan requests of King Solomon — I don't know what a sultan is — but a sultan requests of King Solomon a sentence that would always be true in good times or bad. And Solomon responds, "This too will pass away." And then in 1859, Abraham Lincoln gave one of his famous speeches. It's not the fourscore, maybe it was. I don't really know. I'm not a Lincoln guy. I'm here to talk about a saying, "this too shall pass." And after all, I am just reading from Wikipedia here. But Lincoln, in his speech, says, "It is said an Eastern monarch once charged..." So now it's a monarch, right? It was a sultan earlier. You just can't trust Wikipedia. But "it is said an Eastern monarch once charged his wise men to invent him a sentence to be ever in view and which should be true and appropriate in all times and situations. They presented him the words, 'and this too shall pass away.' How much it expresses, how chastening in the hour of pride, how consoling in the depths of affliction." I should have done a Abe Lincoln impersonation, but I'm no... Oh, what was his guy? What was his name? Who was the actor that did Lincoln that did such a famous job? Again, the research crew for Defender of Caregivers needs to do a better job, because I should have these names right at my fingertips and on the tip of my tongue when I need them. But the point is, this too shall pass. And so in my childhood, as I moved into adulthood and nursing school and stand-up comedy and marriage and kids, you know, this all takes me back to the podcast with Joe Rogan and Ryan Sickler out of Baltimore. These guys are genuine. I mean, yes, they're trying to entertain, but they're not trying to impress. They're successful men sharing of their enthusiasm to and for the world. These are the kind of inspirations you want to find. You don't want to find people with an agenda. You want to find people that are going to be honest. Maybe not tell you what you want to hear, but be honest and be truthful and have no agenda and just share what they have to offer. And let me tell you something. Ryan Sickler can laugh at himself and at and with others. His laugh is infectious. It's so genuine. And now I feel like I'm cheating on Joe a little bit, Joe Rogan, because Ryan Sickler has a podcast. It's called The Crab Feast. And I'm now listening to Ryan's podcast, The Crab Feast, that he does with his comedic partner, Jay Larson, almost as much as I'm, you know, listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. But it's very important to you know, mix things up. And I'm not necessarily advocating for the podcast that I'm listening to, but I am advocating for you to learn to nurture voices in your head, whether they are your own inner monologue that you create or whether it is that you are listening to trusted resources that give you a new perspective on life. So in the spirit of the Crab Feast podcast, by the way, profanity alert, these guys, you know, it's internet, they speak, anyway, I highly recommend Joe Rogan Experience or the Crab Feast podcast. And in the spirit of the Crab Feast podcast, the spirit of the Crab Feast podcast is about spending time with friends and telling stories about life. And in that spirit, I tell you this story that occurred at an actual Crab Feast on Father's Day, and it is the nuts and bolts of today's podcast. So here I was at the podcast at a neighbor's, at the Crab Feast at a neighbor's house on Father's Day. Their Father's Day routine is that it's a husband and wife and two grown children, one living in Philadelphia, one living in D.C., and this Crab Feast took place in southern Delaware. So their family tradition is that they always go crabbing on Father's Day. It's the beginning of the crabbing season, and it's something they always do. Well, I was lucky enough to, my daughter and I, Taylor, were lucky enough to have scored an invitation to the Crab Feast. And so we go over there, and as things do, you know, you're having a couple of beers, you're just relaxing, and you're talking, and you're chatting, and you're reminiscing. Well, the family got into a little bit of an argument. It wasn't an argument per se about anything important. It was an argument about the facts of a story that was being told. And the story that was being told was kind of a sad one. But as memories are, and as you're reliving a life, and as you're, you know, inviting the joyful experiences of life, even in a sad time, things that we have to do in retrospect, we can't do it in real time, we need some distance from them, we were having fun with the story. I was just listening, I didn't know any of the facts. But what they were talking about was a man that had sadly died relatively young. He was right around 50 years old, and he had lung cancer despite not smoking. And so there was a conversation of what causes lung cancer and this and that. And the point of it is that they were starting, they each had different memories of the past. Not of the man, that was pretty much universal. He's a good man, he was fun, he lived a young, exciting, risk-taking life. And he died, and they couldn't remember what year he died. And the matriarch of this family, I didn't mention to you that my neighbor's mom was there, so she's a woman approaching 80, and she grew up on the eastern shore of Maryland on an island called Hooper's Island, around watermen, and she can pick a crab like you wouldn't believe. She can take a crab and pick it down to the shell, as if no meat ever existed, but the shell is entirely intact. It's amazing. I've been working on it for about 5 years, and I'm not quite there yet. But the father and the son were arguing about what year this gentleman had died. They knew it was a couple of years ago, but they couldn't remember specifically. And then the grandmother chimed in. It was 2014, because that was the year of the cable problems. I can't say it the way she said it, but here we are talking about life and death, and what she remembers is that it was 2014 because that was the year we had all the problems with our cable. Now, I know as a comedian at heart and a caregiver in practice, I got a little twisted sense of humor because comics can always find the dark side of a subject to make fun of it, and believe me, caregivers, we're exposed to the harsher side of life on a regular basis. So I have a twisted sense of humor, but I thought this was hilarious. I could not stop laughing. I mean, I was laughing so hard I started to apologize, and I swore I wasn't making fun of them, because here's my perspective on this. I've had some amazing milestones in my life. As a kid, as I moved to Baltimore area, you know, we got there right after Hurricane Agnes, which was in 1973. And then there was the year of the Jamboree in 1976, where I was named the Boy Scout of the Year in Catonsville, and I was sent to the National Jamboree at Moraine State Park. I remember it like it was yesterday. In high school, I had some big wins in wrestling, and we went to College Park for our basketball state championships and volleyball state championships all 4 years. You know, so the high school years were fantastic. And then there was the year of graduation in 1980. And in 1984, it was the year of comedy and graduation again, because I won the Baltimore's Best Young Comedian competition and graduated from nursing school. And then there was the year of testicular cancer in 1985. Yeah, that was a bummer, but it was the year. And then marriage in 86, and new parents in 88 and 92, and divorce in 97. Yeah, I had some memorable years in there, but never did I have a year of the plumbing issues or the electrical challenges. Oh my, I mean I literally was laughing for like 10 minutes, and maybe it really wasn't that funny, but it just struck me odd. And the people at the table know of me and my speaking and my love for comedy. And as I'm sitting there, my stomach's hurting, I'm almost vomiting with laughter, because I just keep talking about the year of the cable problems. I was apologizing because I didn't want her to think I was making fun of her. Luckily, they know me and my sense of humor well, so she wasn't offended by it. But I even said to them, I said, you know, I can't write this as a joke. I just can't do it. I'll never be able to, you know, recreate this moment. So I guess in that ways, that moment too has passed. And this too shall pass. But that perspective led to this podcast and why I enjoyed my walk with Chance the Rescue Dog so much, because I wanted to get to this podcast to share that story and the perspective that I got from it. I used to tell my audiences when I was giving my first talk that I ever developed, called Get Out of Bed and Go to Work, I used to tell them that if you're having a crappy day right now, I want you to get out a piece of paper, and I want you to write on the piece of paper exactly what's going on and why it sucks so bad. And then I want you to put it in an envelope and seal it. And on the front of that envelope, I want you to write the words "important." And then I want you to stick that envelope in some random junk drawer in your house that you'll stumble onto one day far into the future, because that is the only way you're ever going to remember whatever it is that's bothering you right now. Now, that's like for a work thing or a small relationship squibble, or you got a ticket on your car or whatever. It's not for the full-blown caregiver issues that we're dealing with, but you get my point. It's horrible now, but in retrospect, this too shall pass, in that you'll be able to put it in perspective. It may still be horrible, but it'll be in perspective and alongside of other horrible things that are yet to come. Now, there's a positive thought for you, but it'll also be in perspective to many great things that are yet to come. So let's not focus on the ink that's in the water. Let's focus on the water, and let's add more water to diffuse that ink by having more of life's experiences, staying open to them, staying available to new options and new opportunities, and not get it dwelling on what's currently going on, the situation. You want to focus on your efforts rather than why you're having to apply those efforts. So I got another story. This one's kind of shorter, and I'm going to wrap it up here soon for you. But again, it's in keeping with the same perspective. So let's go back to the crab feast. So my daughter's at the crab feast, and we had the crabs, and there was some iced tea and a couple of beers here and there. It was Father's Day, you know, we weren't going to pound a bunch of beers, but there were a couple of beers there. There was corn on the cob, they had some steamed shrimp, and they had, what is it when you take the cucumbers and onions and you put it in vinegar? Yeah, cucumbers and onions and vinegar, I think is what they call it. And they also had deviled eggs there. And me, I'm just focusing on the crabs, you know, because that's the main act there. But my daughter all of a sudden says, ooh, does anybody mind if I eat the last deviled egg? I love deviled eggs. They make me think of Disney World. And I'm just sitting there going, what? What are you talking about? And my daughter says, yeah, the first time I ever had deviled eggs was when you took us to Disney World. I'll never forget it. I loved that trip. Now, keep in mind, this too shall pass. I only took my kids to Disney World once, and I only took them there once because I freaking hated that trip. To this day, my family is not a big fan of amusement parks because of standing in line and hot temperatures and that sort of thing. At least that's so I thought, that they hated the trip. It turns out that my daughter loved that trip. Now, what I remember about the trip is that this was the year of Disney, Dumbo, and divorce, circa 1996. It was a disaster. We went on spring break so the kids wouldn't have to miss school. Yeah, I mean, I think my son was in first grade and Taylor hadn't even started school yet. They were going to get set back a whole bunch if they missed any time from school. So we went on spring break. Mistake, because you know why? Everybody else in the free world goes to Disneyland and Disney World during spring break. Major mistake. Then we waited in line for some damn Dumbo ride for like 3 hours in 98 degree temperature, and Taylor threw up once we got on the ride. We were trying to save money in a cheap hotel by staying outside the park in Kissimmee, Florida. Another mistake, because now you got the transportation and you're not right there in the place. And not only that, you know, the place knows what you're trying to do. They know you're looking for a cheap place to stay, so they give you a cheap place to stay. I don't remember what hotel it was. Believe me, I would rat them out if I could. Nobody out there has to worry about me giving them a bad review because I can never remember, which is another point. Our memories are not perfect. I can't hold a grudge because I can't remember what it is. I move on to the next thing. But the air conditioning in our crappy hotel didn't work, and to save money and on food and to get out of the heat, when we weren't in the park, we ate all our meals and spent all our time at this all-you-can-eat buffet joint that we could walk to from our hotel. And apparently, at this all-you-can-eat buffet, they serve deviled eggs. So I'm thinking that this trip to Disneyland is that, you know, for 20 years now, I'm thinking that was the thing that led to a divorce ultimately, because and I mean, it was just bad. You know how when you're in a bad relationship, and I have a terrible memory of going to Disney, but apparently that was the year of Disney and deviled eggs. In my daughter's perspective, we all have different perspective. Time heals all. This too shall pass. There is positive even in negative scenarios. So let's go back to the crab feast in the proverbial sense for the telling of this story. So here I was at this, you know, crab feast, and I'm listening to this prideful, independent woman who's approaching her 80s. You know, talk to me about the year of the cable problems, and then she went on in great detail about all the problems they had with cable, and I remember because I had to wait for the guy, and then I had to go to the funeral, and so she's connecting the dots for us. But let me tell you a little bit more about her. She's, as I said, a prideful, independent woman approaching her 80s. She still runs a beauty salon. She is always dressed to the nines and made up and looks perfect, but a couple of weeks before Father's Day, she was in her kitchen and she reached up to pull the string on a ceiling fan. And the ceiling fan fell and hit her on the head. It about killed her. I mean, literally, it left a... she had a head wound and her eye was all cut up. And they rushed her to the emergency room. And here she is sitting there with a very bad scar on her left eyebrow. And it's still swollen and it's not yet healed. But she's sitting there talking about the cable, the year of the cable problems, just keeping up with everybody else, eating crabs, picking on me because I don't know how to eat them yet, and she's commenting on how sweet and full the crabs are. She's saying even the points are worth picking. Ryan, you know what I'm talking about there. And I just know that years from now, when we talk to her, this experience we just shared together is not going to be the year of the ceiling fan. It's going to be the year of the fatty crab points. It's all a matter of perspective. Time heals all, this too shall pass. Remember, whatever you're going through, you're not alone, and Doc, the Defender of Caregivers, is with you. And no matter what, it can't be as bad as the year of the cable problems. This too shall pass. So in closing, join me in saying the caregiver's vow. Repeat after me. I am proud of who and what I am. I'm a caregiver. I am aware that I take satisfaction in pleasing others and sometimes overcommit. I accept that some things I cannot change and that I am not perfect. I will allow others to help and join me on my caregiver's journey. I will honor myself as I care for others. This is my solemn caregiver's vow. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Defender of Caregivers and Doc Defender on Twitter and Defender of Caregivers on Instagram. Way to step on the clothes there, Lon. Don't forget to invite us out or have someone invite us out to do our play, Defending the Caregiver. It's a wonderful, fun event, and I love doing it. Comedic, dramatic play about one man's caregiver's journey that's actually about you. Okay, everybody, that's it for the podcast. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media areas, Doc Defender at Twitter and Defender of Caregivers on Facebook and Instagram. We'll see you out there on the road with Doc the Rescue Dog and the Docmobile. Gotta run. Love y'all. See you next time. Goodbye. Most of all, thank you for caring.